Welcome to the Theology of the Buddy, a podcast for Catholics who love the beauty of the Church's sacred tradition. My name is Brooke. Join us this episode as we discuss blessings, theologically spicy blessings, and blessings that can heal you with their mouth.
Tim, that's so spicy.
Tim, I love you.
If you're looking to grow in the faith in new ways, recant your heretical beliefs, looking to connect with other faithful Catholics, or you're simply looking to make friends with an abominable snowman, you've come to the right place. We're not experts, but look what the experts are up to these days. Being an unprofessional Catholic might just be the way to go. We've learned a lot over the 15 plus years we've been friends in the faith, and we want to share that with you. So if you haven't yet, make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you are watching, and don't forget to drop by theologyofthebuddy.ca for all of our show notes and past episodes. Oh my gosh.
You just destroyed everything. I love it. Well,
Everything stays in.
Like,
it's all said with such just, I'm just reading the notes, and yes, comedy yeah. Goal.
You stay classy, San Diego. Yeah. That pre-roll does read like it was written by a Mason, doesn't it?
Oh my gosh.
Well, who do we have on the podcast today?
An actual quote unquote expert. He has credentials.
He does. Way more than
a quote unquote. Well, not quote unquote, just a priest, just a regular priest.
Yes.
Do you have like a PhD? No, not a PhD. What do you have? What's your master's degree? A master's. Yeah.
Now, that being said, having a master's in divinity, as much as it sounds great, like, wow, you got a master's, it's a little lighter on the academic side than most masters.
We didn't actually say who it was. It's Father Steve.
Father Steve.
Hi.
Father Steve March of the Diocese of London.
Yep.
Yes.
He was in our wedding party with Chris.
It's true. I danced with a chair.
Yeah.
and with the dice that we used for the game.
But that was your wedding. Or was that?
No, that was at Mike and Brooks.
That was at Mike and Brooks? Okay. I'm getting them mixed up.
I believe you.
And
I
you
don't
danced
really
and you said, this is what the life it? I have chosen.
What was it he danced with at your wedding?
Yeah, what did you dance with at your wedding, Chris?
There was a special dance at your wedding, too, I'm pretty sure. I thought it was a dice, too. Anyway.
Maybe the chair was at Chris's. I always grab some inanimate object to dance with, but... And then we all danced to, like, FF5 or something.
Yes, that was the nerd out.
Yeah.
Nerd
that
out.
That was definitely on there.
We had a great DJ at our wedding. Shout out to Obadiah from RadioU.com. All the way from Columbus.
Yeah.
That was great.
That was wild. Yeah. A lot of fun.
It's nice to be chatting with y'all. How was your Christmas break? We're back after our break.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. It's been good. I had a nice time to get away. I don't know about you guys, but nothing majorly exciting, just kind of relaxing.
We got sick.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Boot earns.
I'm glad to hear you actually got some time off, because I thought it might be kind of busy with the back-to-back holy days and Sundays.
Yeah, with
and
Christmas
stuff like
landing on Monday and Mary, Mother of God on Monday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I just took some time off after that. I like to be, like last year, I stayed at the church so that I could, during the octave, because I always hated it. Before I was even a seminarian and that was starting to come more into my faith, that priests always took off during the octave. And I'm like, this is the time I'm here. Like, I'm here and I have time for mass. I want to go to mass. And there was never any masses. Everyone was always away, especially on the feast of Saint Stephen, my saint's name day. And I could never, until I was a priest, was the first time I actually got to celebrate mass on my saint's name day.
Oh, man.
That's wild.
Yeah. So, I was like, I want to make sure that I'm there for people. And so I would typically try to be around at that time, then try to take my time off after all of that stuff had passed. But last year when I did that, nobody showed up. They're all like, we're sleeping. It's the holidays. We don't need to come out to mass. And I'm like, well, I mean, if you guys don't care, nuts to that, I'm going home.
I'm sure they're used to there not being any masses too, right?
Yeah, but there was no real desire. Like when I told them I'd be around, they're like, meh, yeah, it's okay. It's fine either way. So I was like, well, okay. I'm not going to force it. We're going to be starting up or getting ready for February 2nd, We're going to do a nice fancy Candlemas and hopefully not get snowed out like last year.
Nice.
Nice.
Are you going to burn like a big Christmas tree or... I don't know.
Just set the tree on fire, you know.
That's a thing.
That's a Job tradition. Well, actually a real tradition that Job introduced us to.
Like, yeah.
Keeping the Christmas tree up until Candlemas and then burning it. It's not I don't think it's a liturgical thing. Oh, it's just okay.
a home tradition.
A
Christmas tree thing.
You'd need a yard in which to do that, but I don't think you'd do that at the church. We're going to set up out in front of the church some candles, like we got a bunch of these little lantern candles, and we're going to set up a path leading up into the church and then give everyone candles outside, and we'll do the opening prayers and blessings of candles and everything, and then everyone will come in with lighted candles into the church.
Oh, nice.
And we're going to have the church lit mostly by candlelight as well, and then we'll celebrate Mass like that, which will be awesome.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
I like
that's
it.
That's excellent.
It'll be a bit like Rate Chaley or something.
Yeah. If we had to go out and light our tree on fire, it would be like this big puddle of plastic in the middle of our yard.
Oh.
That's us too, except our puddle would be way smaller because our tree is so skinny.
Your Christmas tree is anorexic.
It is.
It's not. I've already said this story before, but Father Steve, I have a skinny tree upstairs because...
It's volumetrically challenged.
Well, we just needed a thinner tree for upstairs.
It's more of a Christmas twig.
Okay, Christmas the Charlie Brown twig.
Job would not be impressed.
Job would just leave.
It's two layers see it walk away. Of, like, first of all, he doesn't approve of fake trees, but also this one's so small and pathetic. I think he would be really disappointed with us.
And I mean, Job's been through a lot already, so I don't think we have to...
Yeah, all those camels. You lost them all.
Oh man.
This would be the name of the Lord, huh?
Yeah.
I like how he lost his family, his house, everything else, and you're like, the camels, man.
Yeah.
So sad, all those camels lost.
It was a lot of them, though. They do talk a lot about how many flocks of various animals he had and then lost. It's just what came to mind.
I'm just thinking here, like, you could make...
They were really sweet camels, man.
I'm just thinking here, you could make, like, an amazing country song about, like, the losses of Job. Like, you know how it's like, there's all the jokes about, like, your wife leaves and... You're something about a truck and your dog leaves. I don't know.
Yeah.
Somebody get ChatGPT to write a country song about Job.
I would love
that. That'd be
amazing. We need Stevie T, I think. Remember that Stevie T country song? That was the greatest.
Oh, yes.
Cowboy boots and beers. This is great.
Good reference.
Thank you. Okay.
That was my reference. Don't say thank you.
But I sang it.
Hold on. Speaking of reference, we had a funny thing happen to us this week where Mike and I, when we went down to Furnace Fest in September, we were driving down the road and on the way to barbecue, actually. And there's a storefront that said on the front of it, it said Sola Salons. And I said, man, these Protestants will solo everything. Like, and we had a good laugh about it. And somebody, actually an SSPXer on Instagram this past week, did that exact joke. And I was like, oh.
Chris is like, this guy stole all my internet points. Those were Chris's points. Yeah, every thumbs up on that video should have belonged to you, buddy.
Yeah, everything. Yeah, that's my joke.
Okay, guys, so topic for tonight was suggested to us by our listener, Matt M.
So the reason why we brought a priest on board, not simply for the comedic points, because he is very funny and great guy, but he and I have talked about this in the past. And so we wanted to get his feedback and his thoughts on this. So I'll read the message that Matt sent to us. Again, if you have questions or feedback or anything that you want to share with us, you can always visit us at theologyofthebuddy.com, and you can find how to get connected with us on socials there, or email us at theologyofthebuddy.com, or DM us, Instagram, Facebook, at Theology of the Buddy. So Matt says, question, if it is said that you can't receive the sacraments through media, such as confession over the phone, why is it that blessings similar to those given after Mass are given by priests at the end of a podcast or Visio? A blessing is different than a sacrament, but it seems like it would follow that such an action would not make sense to give. Do such blessings grant the listener or viewer any actual spiritual benefit? Do these blessings apply only to those viewing live, or to anyone who consumes that piece of media at any point going forwards through all of space and time? Related to these questions, there was a period of time when one was allowed to watch the masses live and make a spiritual communion. Did it make sense to do/bestow any benefit to the viewer similar to a blessing would, other than it being equivalent to doing a private dry mass in sort of remembrance of what is sacred? Certainly you can pray for those who aren't physically present to you, or for souls in purgatory. But I don't think, for instance, an anointing of the sick would work in terms of the necessary matter when there is remoteness, such as through media, or blessing a home when the home isn't present in front of the priest. I'm confused. I hope you can offer some help in understanding how this all works. Sorry for rambling a little in my questions. Thanks, Matt. That's a fantastic question. And yeah. So, Father Steve, your thoughts on this question?
So, first of all, he addressed a number of very good points, particularly in terms of sacraments, that the reason why sacraments need to be done in person is because there's the part of the actual ritual for imparting a sacrament involves some kind of contact. So like, for example, baptism, you have to pour water. You can't do that remotely, right? That action needs to happen. There's the holy oils in anointing of the sick and with confirmation. Confessions would be the only one where there's not as much of a physical thing. It still has to be done in person, but there's not quite the same physical kind of something that you're physically doing in the whole thing. But it still is, like, for sacraments, the nature of them is that they're involving some kind of personal contact with the priest or the one who's ministering the sacrament.
Like presence. Presence has to be.
Yeah. You need that actual physical presence. Blessings, however, it's like he was saying in his question, is a bit of a different bag because you are, well, actually, before I get to that, just one other interesting note that I found out is that if you're, like, for example, let's say you're at Mass and you are outside the building, but there's a Mass going on. Because it used to be in days of old, you have a church doesn't have enough room in there. You have a massive celebration, like even at the Vatican or something like that. Not enough people can necessarily fit in. And so you might have some of the faithful who are outside the doors and you open up the doors so that they can still participate in some way. But they're physically not in the building. They still are validly attending Mass, right? Now, of course, to receive the Eucharist, someone has to come out and give them the Eucharist, or they have to walk in and get the Eucharist. So there is still that physical component, which is, so they're still receiving that sacrament. But the Mass itself is still validly obtained through that distance, even though you're not physically in the same building. And apparently, a similar kind of thing can work for if you had, say, an overflow room in which you cannot see, you're not like seeing the literal Mass, you're seeing the recording passed on, that apparently that is also would fulfill, say, your Sunday obligation or something like that. If you're there when the Mass is happening in the other room, but there's not enough room in there, so you're in a different room and they've set up a TV screen so that you can see it. It's obviously something that was not available in the past. But you're still in the same presence, the same area, that is still considered valid in terms of your day of obligation. And then, of course, you would walk in or someone would come and bring you the Eucharist and that sort of thing. So again, that's a slightly different sort of thing. And then that's where it gets more interesting with blessings, is that you can receive a blessing technically from anywhere in the world, so long as it's happening now. So like, I'm on my phone right now, whether this was, I mean, we're doing a little video chat here, but if I was just calling you on the phone and I gave you a blessing over the phone, you would receive that blessing because the blessing is, I mean, a sign of the cross and I'm asking God's blessing upon you. It's not bound by distance, right? Otherwise you'd have to say like, how far is too far? And we'd have to calculate out like, if you can see me way over here, hi, I'm way off the distance. May Almighty God bless you. You know, and I do that. Like, at what point do we say is too far? The importance is that you are present for you hear the blessing. You are hearing the blessing being given. You are receiving it in real time, basically. So the short answer to all of this is that a blessing can be given so long as it's live. So that whatever the circumstances are, whether it's by video, by phone, by distance, whether you're screaming off in the, you know, far across the hills, if you are hearing that blessing happening as it is happening, you are receiving that blessing. But if you're watching a live stream that was on earlier, or you watch a DVD, or you're listening to a podcast later. So like, if I give you guys a blessing right now, you will receive this blessing. But nobody listening to this podcast receives that blessing. So you see the difference there? That's basically short of it from what I found out about that.
So what of things like I don't know if you're familiar with Monsignor Rossetti, mm-hmm. But like he does like deliverance prayers and stuff by like a live stream kind of thing. And supposedly it's effective. Is that why it's effective? Is because it's live? Like he doesn't record it, but people actually have experienced kind of breakthrough and stuff through that.
Yeah.
That
I
ministry.
Mean, I'd say so because it's, you know, God is not, as I'm saying, you know, God is not bound by time and space and all, you know, all these things. Like God can work through all of that. God can even work through, like one could say, if you had a, you know, if you had someone who is giving a certain prayer for something that someone is dealing with, and even if it was recording and someone's listening to it afterwards, someone who was never intended for, but they're listening to it, if that speaks to their heart, there's still going to be an impact because what's happening is God is communicating something to you in that moment, even if it has nothing to do with what the original recording was. So from that sense, already there is a benefit and there can be healing and there can be other things because all that's needed for healing is for the one to be healed is open to receiving it and that God is giving the healing. So it's not like God is like, oh, I'm sorry, that recording happened earlier. You know, sorry, you're just going to have to stay stuck in your messiness, even though you're open to it right now. You know, like it would be the same as if you're praying by yourself and you read a book. I mean, shoot, we do that all the time. You read books and you're healed by something, right? So I would say that for that case. But there would be an added component that if someone is doing live prayer ministry, healing ministry, deliverance ministry, whatever it is, that there would be an added element because, you know, the priest is praying for that person specifically. Because if you're interacting with that individual person, it's happening right then and there. You know, God's graces are abounding. You know, like the Lord's not limited by that. The sacraments are more so just a different thing, I think, because the very nature of what they entail is that kind of physical component. And now I'm actually, it's funny because I would never say to do this. I would never say to do this. But now as I'm like explaining all of this and I'm thinking about the nature of confession, there's a part of me that's going, would it be technically possible that like something like that could be done virtually in some kind of a manner? I don't think so. I would say no. I'm pretty sure from everything I know it would not be. But in terms of the explanation that I gave, I'd be like, that's an interesting question. I'm wondering if there'd been more investigation about that.
I was reading that before this podcast, just trying to research Matt's question too. And yeah. There was I forget the name of the priest who wrote an article about this. It was specifically about confession, and it was a Dominican priest, and it was in the context of COVID, where people were trying all kinds of interesting ways to get confession because there were lockdowns going on.
Yeah.
He talked about all of the sacraments requiring physical presence of the priest and the person receiving. He talked a lot about how the manner of confessing and receiving absolution is a conversation. And even before like modern technology, there had been a lot of discussion about things like confession via letters and via, you know, maybe passing a note anonymously or maybe not anonymously, but like passing a note under a door or something like that, where basically the consensus was always that it had to be a natural conversation, even if it was like a mute person writing something down. It had to be in the physical presence of the priest. Apparently, that's always been the consensus of the church. And that's kind of stuck with technology too, right? Like, you can use a hearing aid, but you have to be physically in the priest's presence. Mm-hmm. You can, if you're deaf or you can't speak, you can write and the priest can write, but he has to write in your presence beside you, basically.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, it made sense to me on the level of that's the way our Lord instituted the sacraments. I mean, we don't have a direct scriptural confession per se, but like with all the other sacraments, there's this pattern of like he doesn't baptize from a distance or, you know, things like that, right? It's always a kind of personal encounter with the sacraments.
Yeah, I'd say that probably makes the most sense for that. Otherwise, yeah, like the, you know, and again, like, just not to misunderstand me, I'm kind of like speculating out loud about the whole situation. I could see how one could make an argument for saying that confession could be a little bit different because there's no physical component to it. But given, I think that's the strongest argument against it, is that given that all the other sacraments, the nature of it is that it involves being in that presence, that would not just like suddenly not apply to confession. But yeah, it's interesting because there is still a little bit of a difference, like with making arguments against letters and other things like that. Because if you're speaking in person, you're speaking in person. Like right now, as we're conversing right now, just as well as we would be in person. Though, I mean, I guess you could argue, like, what if the technology fails? Or I think the bigger issue is it could be intercepted. So, I mean, there's the openness towards breaking the seal of confession. You know, someone could be recording it. You could be recording the whole conversation. Those would be all dangers. So, I mean, there's probably a number of reasons we would say that it wouldn't apply. But anyway, sorry, I know I'm kind of rambling about the issue. I just suddenly got interested as I'm back in my seminary days of like, let's work it out. Let's figure this out. I want to get at the heart of this. Not to confuse any viewers, though. I'm sure nobody would ever want to go to confession via phone or anything.
Maybe just spitballing here too. And we're not experts, but you know, like Brooke said in the beginning, but like when you look at the scriptures, whenever our Lord says to someone, your sins are forgiven you, he's always in their presence. He's always there. But conversely, he does healings at a distance, right? With a soldier that comes and he says, you know, he's healed or whatever. I can't remember what he says, but he's so impressed by his faith, right? That he heals the son at a distance, you know? So that's kind of maybe a biblical example of like how our Lord can bless at a distance without being physically present, but he doesn't forgive anybody their sins without being physically or being present to them.
Mm-hmm.
Although he could, because he doesn't have to use the sacrament of confession because he's God. But
I mean, he does these things as a means, I think, of showing what, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's instructional.
Well, I mean, just like Jesus getting baptized.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think the other thing to remember too is like when you're going to confession, you know, meet with your priest, you do your confession, but it's our Lord that works through the priest to absolve you of those sins. Yeah. So it's like, it would be like somebody saying, well, I could just confess my sins to God privately in my own home, right? No, the church has instituted these sacraments in this very specific way.
And well, our Lord has instituted the sacraments.
Yeah.
In the church.
Yeah. But, you know, those things need to be there. Like you, and I think it's important that we're having this conversation because like, you know, when COVID hit and people were attending masses virtually, there are still people that only attend virtually. I don't know what the percentage is, but there are people that still do. And I think that in the future, we are going to see talk about people asking about receiving sacraments like confession virtually. And I hope that it's a pretty obvious answer that I don't think it should be offered that way, because it's like, you know, we shouldn't be dispensing people from attending Mass and doing it only virtually, because our presence is required. It has to be in the presence of, you know, at our parish with a priest, you know, with the Eucharist there present in the building. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of things that are required for us to receive the graces necessary from, you know, those sacraments, from Mass, from confession. I don't know. Does that make sense? Like, you can't just start stripping away all of those things and think that that you're getting the fullness of it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That is the grave danger for a lot of those things. And I mean, I think COVID really put us in that situation. So even the question about confession was frequently asked.
Yeah.
I think that's already been answered pretty much by the church. I don't know. I don't think there was any, unless I missed it, there may have been, I don't think there were any official documents or anything that said that, but there was a lot of clarity overall, because everyone around the world was asking that question, and everywhere was saying, no, confessions have to be in person. You have to be there. I think the way it was stipulated is that the most that could happen is, like Chris was saying, you could have a hearing aid that could assist with the hearing. You could potentially, I think they were saying, like, if you had some kind of a speaker system that was amplifying your voice or something like that, but the person could, you know, you're still right there. And so it was assisted to like go a little further distance, but you really have to hear, you still have to hear their voice. You still have to be hearing their voice in your presence, and not, because essentially what happens is when you're on virtually, like right now, this is my voice is being translated, digitized, sent online, comes back to you. It's reformed, and so that you can hear it. There's technically a little bit of lag even, and everything and all of that. So you're not quite receiving it in the same way. There's definitely not my presence, because we are physically in very different locations. So, you know, all of that kind of detaches you from the personhood and the experience of that.
Yeah.
Whereas I think the difference between something like a blessing is you're receiving the blessing of God. Yes, the priest or the deacon is administering that blessing, but I think it's because it's not a sacrament. It's something that, you know, we can, because I can right now bless anything I want, right? I can pray and bless, you know, like over there. I want to bless that tree, you know, way over there. I can go bless it, right? To pray. Well, I mean, now I'm second guessing myself, because I'm just thinking, like, would it be, I mean, I guess that's the theory behind it. Like, if I was to be praying to bless something like across the world, I mean, I don't know. Why would I be doing that? I mean, first of all, if I'm not there, but I guess for a person, you know, like if I'm praying for a blessing upon you guys, even if you don't know it, even if you're not here, I think I can pray and impart that blessing upon you. And I think that's the idea. So it's not so much that it's transmitted through the digital media or anything like that. It's that I'm doing it and you guys are just aware that I'm doing. So the blessing happened whether you were aware of it or not, because I did it. Like, I think that's more what's happening with the blessing, as opposed to the sacraments. I can't give that to you there. So I need to be there, because that presence is part of it. It's part of the nature of it. Yeah. Anyway.
Matt's not listening live right now. Could you give him a blessing and he receive grace right now?
Yeah, oh, I think so. I think I could pray for him and give him a blessing. But when he's listening to this, the blessing already happened long in the past, so it's gone. I'm sorry, man. He would just be aware, like, oh, I received a blessing yesterday at, you know, if he was, oh, it's 8:50 p.m. on Sunday. You know, that's when the blessing came in. so he can be aware of that in the past. So, you know, Matt, may God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Very good. Matt has been blessed.
Thank you, Father Steve. That was very good and a very, it was comprehensive. I don't know. Do you agree, guys? Like, it makes sense.
It is an interesting question. I think I could totally predict in the next like 50 to 100 years, a church document about virtual goods or perhaps abuses is going to exist. I think it's going to be a discussion that needs some serious clarification, because that I think that it is one of those things that people could try to abuse for, you know, various reasons and could potentially be disastrous or not helpful or, you know, potentially harm the faithful. One thing I was just thinking about while you were giving your example about the blessings would be like kind of these tiers of, you know, efficacy and distance and how things all of a sudden change and what things are kind of lost, right? Where it's like, you know, we have the example of going to a confessional and saying your confession to a priest, okay? Then we have an example of you, say, being like in one of those like jail situations where there's like at the phone, but you're looking at each other and you're speaking to each other through the phone and there's nobody else in the room. And doing a confession.
You're looking through the glass.
You
talking about?
Yeah, you're talking through the glass. You're talking through, you know, in the phone so that you can hear each other, right? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden doing something where you're in completely separate rooms and then doing things like via video, like on a chat or something like that. You see where it gets kind of weird, kind of murky there?
Well, I think you're right about the efficacy, because there is still, I would still say, a blessing in person would have greater efficacy than blessing at a distance.
Right.
And that is because what is lacking is the presence. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because there is great grace that is given just by presence. And I think the easiest way to see that in a very obvious, practical manner is even the difference of how we experience each other talking to each other virtually right now versus when we get together.
Absolutely.
Because when we're in each other's presence, we enjoy and experience one another's presence much more than if we're virtually. It's still better than nothing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same way with the blessings. You know, you can say the blessing is there, but of course it would be much better if you were in the presence of. And so even with like some of these things that are given as exceptions to, you wouldn't say that, okay, sure, if I'm celebrating Mass in the church and just outside, you know, in another room, they have set up a TV screen so that people can watch the Mass and then come up to receive the Eucharist afterward or however that's set up. Just because that's possible, you would never say, well, let's just put people down there and have the priest celebrate Mass up there virtually, you know, and no one be in the church. Like, that would be absurd. Of course, it's far infinitely better to come and be there in that room. And it's only because there is no other possibility that the other becomes an option. Mm-hmm. So the church does emphasize that sort of thing, saying that it's not a thing to be abused. Like, those are real exceptions for the good of the people. Not right. For these are just options or something like that.
So let's give like an extreme emergency situation. Okay. Let's just say Mike's been horribly, horribly wounded in the backyard because he accidentally walked into a rake. Okay.
Extreme.
And I'm just like, oh no, I think he might be dying. I'm going to call Father Steve and see if he'll give him the apostolic pardon. Here, Mike, I'll put the phone beside your face and I'll go run away like into the house and Father Steve and Mike can talk. Emergency situation. Even under those conditions, it would not work.
I would pray with them. I mean, I'd say go find a priest.
I'm not saying anybody should do that. I'm just saying if we're going to like extremes here and somebody was trying to make that as an example, you know what I mean?
So the church has even answered that sort of thing. So like it's not in extremes, like the kind of ways that those extremes can be used is like, for example, if I had my faculties removed as a priest, I was not a priest in good standing, and Mike is on his deathbed and he needs the anointing, I can anoint him. You know, like that would be an example of where the extreme can be applied, but it does not mean that the sacrament can suddenly be administered via virtually or phone or whatever. Like you have to be there. It's an absolute requirement. It's invalid otherwise.
Right.
You pray for him. You know, there might be other things we can do. I could give him a blessing over the phone. I could pray for him over the phone.
Right.
You know, but wouldn't be able to go beyond that.
Yeah. So there are set rules and limitations to what can and cannot be done. And I think the church has...
In terms of the sacrament, I think the important thing to realize is that in moments of extreme situation like that, there could be opportunities in which God might operate powerful grace.
But it would be God.
And that's the best you can hope for.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's entirely dependent upon God. So, I mean, you do what you can. But that is, you just say at that point, you just say, we got to leave it to God. We've done everything we can.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like with everything in life. You do what you can, and the rest you have to just say, well, we leave it to you, Lord, because that's as much as we can do.
Right.
With what you've given.
Very good.
Yeah.
I'll watch out for rakes.
I didn't want to say run over by a lawnmower because I thought that'd be too graphic.
That hits home because
like into the chipper. Far more graphic.
There he goes into the chipper.
I mean, the rake example hits home because that's just like how I ended up getting stitches as a toddler.
Yeah,
remember the whole like rake in the grass with the metal dump truck.
Yeah.
No, you got to tell the story now.
Well, can't leave us hanging now.
I was 3 years old. I was at one of the libraries in London. I don't know what my mom was doing. It was like a place where you can like drop your kids off to play for a while, and there's a bunch of toys and kids at the library kind of thing. She's probably doing some errands or something. And I was just there, and they had one of those dump trucks that like has...
metal steel Tonka truck.
Yeah. And I was just the right height to like step on the edge of it and have it swing up and hit me in the face. And so I did that and got like my lip split and had to have stitches. That was my first like major injury where I had to go to the hospital. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And your face has the worst luck.
It does.
I have had an absurd amount of injuries to my face.
Yes, like too many.
But the
I like telling people that I've never broken a bone except for that one time where I broke my skull in five places.
You look great, Mike.
I like saying that.
I look great for a guy who's
metalhead. I know.
Yeah, I am a literal metalhead. Yeah. I got metal teeth and I got a metal bracket on my cheekbone.
As soon as you said metal teeth, all I could picture was like a T-Pain thing where you have like a grill.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we Photoshop that and put it on Instagram?
Yeah.
Dude, make that the
photo, the art for this podcast video.
Done. Yeah,
that's terrible. Thank you.
I'm doing it. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, called Titanium Mike.
Yeah.
Well, I think
set the stage for my whole life.
Well, I think that answers the question. Like, is there anything else you guys wanted to touch on? I think that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Now, other than I just those last two examples of both the rake and the lawnmower thing both just made me think of Simpsons references.
Okay. Let's hear them.
So the rake, the Sideshow Bob episode. I'm sure you guys are familiar with that one. No.
No.
I'm not familiar with any of them.
No. Oh, come on. It's classic. So Sideshow Bob was kept trying to kill Bart, and he had this one where he walked out into a bunch of rakes. So he hits a rake and it smacks him in the face and he goes, ugh. And then he steps on another rake and it hits him in the face. He goes, ugh. And then he turns and he hits another rake and goes, ugh. And it just keeps, and then it zoom pans up and you see there's like just the floor is covered with rakes and he's just walking from one to the other, smacking himself in the face.
Yep.
And then the lawnmower thing was an episode where Homer is he's doing something with the lawnmower and it gets stuck. Oh, he rides over some like a whole pile of stuff like roller skates and other things like this, and so it gets jammed. And he goes, they're talking about like how, you know, being good parents or whatever. And Homer says, he's like, oh, I don't know. He goes, hey, Bart, you got little hands. Can you reach in there and fish that out? And then Bart starts to reach. And the moment he reaches, the lawnmower goes, and then starts running again. He goes, never mind.
Oh, man. Well, I'm super thankful for you all. And thank you so much for Father Steve for joining us on this episode and clarifying these questions.
And thanks, Matt, for the question.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Good one.
Again, if you want to send a question to us, theologyofthebuddy@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram, Facebook at theologyofthebuddy, stay tratty on Twitter. And you can go to theologyofthebuddy.com and even send us a voicemail if you're into that. So,
ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But don't leave us a blessing on the voicemail, as previously mentioned.
Won't work. Also, you're
especially
not
if you're a layperson.
Yeah, yes. So until next time,
stay tratty.
No. All together now.
Until next time.
Stay tratty.
No, all together. Until next time.
Uno.
All together.
I'm keeping that. It's staying just like that. Okay. Thanks so much for listening to today's podcast. What are your thoughts on today's episode? We would love to hear from you guys. Message us on Facebook or DM us on Instagram at Theology of the Buddy. Find us on Twitter at Stay Tratty or email us at theologyofthebuddy@gmail.com. You can also send us a voicemail at theologyofthebuddy.com. If you like what you heard today, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts and rating and reviewing us if you're on iTunes. We greatly appreciate it as it helps us to get noticed within the larger podcast community. New episodes are released every other Monday. We'll save you a seat at the table.